I'm Jeff Stow.
And I'm Brendan Kabluk.
Who are these f***ing guys?
You're listening to Just a Bit Outside, the premier Vancouver sports podcast.
These guys don't look too f***ing good.
Not our standard format this episode, but has everyone been eagerly waiting for it? Because it's finally here. It is our 2017-2018 Vancouver Canucks season preview episode.
That is some great enthusiasm, I have to say.
I will curb it at this point, because that's probably the most excited I'll be this year about the Canucks.
Yeah, I have said it. Two words that need to creep into every Canuck fan's head or be spoken entirely.
Stanley Cup!
No, definitely not. Maybe in the future, but it's big picture. And that's the way that we as fans need to approach this year. As we look at the team that's being brought in, a couple of new young faces going to be on the roster. You have to assume going into next year there are going to be even more. So this is going to be a process. It's going to take a few years. But at least we've found two new young faces, one in particular that the Canucks have shown real great patience with.
Well, you know what's fun? I've always viewed a rebuild sort of as a three-phase thing. And people are always very, very quick to try to put time frames on them.
Yes.
And they shouldn't. A rebuild is basically three things. You draft, you develop, you reap the rewards. We, as Canucks are, and Canuck fans, need to understand that we're still in phase one of that. We are still at the draft phase, and probably are for, I'm going to say, another year, maybe two. You are starting to see us edge into that development phase with a small handful of players. You just nailed one of them with Jake Virtanen. But people need to just, again, curb the enthusiasm a little bit and the expectation of this is still a long ways to go. We're still at the beginning of this rather than the middle or the end.
And we don't really know where this is ending. I mean, it could very well happen that the rebuild gets sped up considerably with a draft next year.
Or free agency.
We just don't know.
I mean, we've talked previously very strong possibility this is the last season you're going to see the Sedins play.
Yes.
And if that happens, you're about to open up $14 million in cap space next year. You very easily could get three roster players in there.
Yeah, and I've said this. I can really see what Jim Benning is trying to do. He knows that the chances of him drafting a Connor McDavid or a Austin Matthews, it's not very good. And he's playing on his Boston model. If you look at that 2011 Boston team that beat the Canucks, there wasn't really a superstar on that team. What they had were four lines that could play. And that's what he's building here. He's building a team that's going to have four lines that can play and that can play considerable minutes. There is not going to be a fourth line here when this team is good enough that will be playing 8 minutes a night. He wants a fourth line that can play 10 to 12 minutes every night, keep the puck in their zone, hit, forecheck, and make a positive contribution.
Well, and you've seen that when you have guys who are playing 20-plus minutes a night, at least in the forward position, over the course of the season, how that plays out.
Yes.
It doesn't play out well. That's specifically the Sedins, and that they've always been that way. They have never been 22, 23, 24 minute a night guys. They have to be kept under 20 to be at their most productive, it seems.
Yeah, and when Elaine Vigneault was the coach, he would do that.
Yeah, because that's the thing. You had four lines at that point where you could roll through and you could manage those minutes. And that, for them to be even solid second liners at this point, that has to be managed properly. No real big surprises with the roster to start. The one that sticks out for me, I thought, was Burmistrov still being here.
This more on a negative.
I don't really hide my opinion that I don't think drafting and having Russian players around is necessarily a recipe for success. That is not a new thing based on Nikita Tramkin. That is something I've held for several years. I just didn't see what he brought in preseason that.
And I know there are a lot of fans out there that would definitely agree with you in that point of view.
When you look at the guys who are here and the roles they're probably expected to be in, you're putting him probably in a fourth line spot.
I would say so. I mean, if you were going to go off what we were seeing in that last preseason game, you might see it's hard to say whether it's a third or fourth line of Burmistrov, Vertanen, and Sam Gagne.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You're probably in a bottom six.
Yes. I think that the top six, you know, you'll have the Sedins with what's looking like Vanek right now, and then you're going to have Besser between Horvat between Besser and Granlund.
Or Berchi.
And that's tough. I mean, there's... Well, and that's a tough thing, right? And then I guess, right, you know, I mean, it's probably Berchi, Horvat, and Besser. Say, and then Granlund with Eriksson and insert, you know, it's hard to know.
Well, I was going to say, it could be Gagne. It could be, I mean, I don't think they're going to bump up Sutter. Sutter seems to be their third, fourth line
guy.
Yeah,
I mean, I would say
that'd
probably be, that it'd be Sutter, Eriksson, and Granlund. And you know what? I'll say this.
And if that's a third line, okay.
It's not a bad third line at all. And if you're looking at it this way, I mean, Arthur, if I'm looking at one player in particular that I'm kind of interested to see, and let's go past Besser and Vertanen, who I think every Canuck fan is excited to see what exactly we're going to get out of them this year, it's Granlund.
Yeah.
I really like the way he plays. I really like his poise. I really like the way he handles the puck. I think he has those silky smooth hands that you can't teach, you're just born with. And
he seems to be following the same sort of development as his brother.
Yeah.
In that it took some time, but got there.
And hey, bravo to Jim Benning, because he took a lot of flack, including, I believe, from us on this show when that trade was made. Because there was a lot of, we didn't really get a chance to see what Hunter Shinkarik was capable of. Well, now that we've seen that Hunter Shinkarik has been put on waivers, was put on waivers by Calgary, I think you get a pretty good idea that the Canucks, at least at this point in time, and there's no reason to believe that this won't continue to be the way that it is, that they got the best of that deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Time always tells with that kind of stuff. I mean, you could argue the jury is still out on Gudbranson for McCann.
Sure.
I think we all are probably expecting better things out of Branson this year for him, as long as he remains healthy.
Yes.
And
it's a big year for him.
And this thing, so many things could go right for the Canucks this year. I mean, you could have Besser and Berchi and Granlund and who knows, Daniel Sedin, maybe even a guy like Louis Eriksson, all getting 20 to the 20 goal mark along with Horvat. I mean, to have five or six 20 goal scorers would be outstanding.
What do we have?
We had one.
Yeah,
last year for
a team that struggled to score goals. I mean, that would just be over the moon.
And I think defensively, there seems to have been a push, or at least a recognition anyway, that there needs to be more offense out of the back end. I think that's a big reason why, after years of trying, the Canucks were finally able to complete the trade for Derek Pouliot.
Yeah, I guess that's definitely something we have to touch on.
And I mean, for anyone who's a naysayer about a trade like that, and you just touched on it with the Granlund trade, and we've been guilty of it. What are you losing potentially for Pouliot, for Andre Panan, and a fourth round pick? you're losing a guy who was going to be in the minors.
Yeah, who just really could, just for whatever reason, couldn't stick.
Yeah, just could not stick with the team. Fourth round pick, I'm not a fan of giving up draft picks, but whatever. To bring in a guy who, from all accounts, does have some defensive liabilities, but has the offensive upside, and there's also the familiarity with the coach.
And I mean, he's still, he's not even in his mid-20s yet.
No, and the Canucks had a very well-documented issue of lack of offensive production from the back end.
I mean, and as we've seen with, you know, other defensemen in the past, sometimes it takes defensemen until their mid to later 20s, say 25, 26, 27, before you really know what you have.
This is a good time to remind fans to be patient with Olli Juolevi.
Yes, this is a good time. I mean, I this is why I'm hoping that what we've seen with Jake Virtanen this year, and I sincerely hope he has a great year, just to show people that not all players are going to show up in the NHL as an 18-year-old.
Or a 19-year-old or a 20-year-old.
Maturity from a guy like Bo Horvat is rare. It doesn't happen often. And so to expect that from any guy, even if it is a sixth overall draft pick, I mean, you can't put that kind of pressure. And Olli Juolevi, you know, I mean, there have been some people that have wondered, you know, should he play the 9 games here? Should he play more than that here? And he's gotten the opportunity to go play in Finland under Sami Salo, which I think is a great move for him. I think going back to junior hockey was pointless. Not necessarily from a competition point of view. There is solid competition in junior hockey. We all know that. But it was more from a psychological point of view. He needed to feel as though that he took a step forward.
Needed a different challenge.
Exactly, right? And this is an opportunity to go learn under, you know, say what you want about the injury issues that Sami Salo had. He was a hell of a defenseman.
He was one of the greatest defensemen we ever had.
Yes. I mean, in all phases, he was great defensively. Obviously, everybody knows what he was like offensively. I mean, his first pass was always so underrated because it was always so good. He got that first pass out of the zone up to the forwards like it was nothing. Like he was sitting in a rocking chair. And really, in terms of maybe Olli Juolevi won't have the same kind of shot that Sami Salo does, but what he does have is that sort of quiet game. I mean, coming out of the draft, the comparable was Nicklas Lidström. Now, he's not going to be Nicklas Lidström, but in terms of that comparison,
for that style of game.
Exactly, right? Nicklas Lidström was never going to be flashy. He never was. He just made every right play.
That was literally it. Anything that you could have done right, he did.
Exactly.
And he made it look effortless.
And that's what you're going to get from Olli Juolevi, hopefully. He's not going to be Nicklas Lidström.
You're also not going to get it for another 2 or 3
exactly,
years at least.
Exactly, right? Let the kid develop. Let the kid take his time.
He's going to play a year in Finland. He's probably going to play a year in Utica.
Yeah. And
just let it happen.
And like I said, the two words, big picture. And that's what this is for every Canuck fan. And it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult for me. It's going to be difficult for Jeff. It's going to be difficult for every fan that wants this team to win right now.
Well, and that's the thing. A lot of things have to go right for them to be competitive this year. They have to stay healthy.
I think that's the big one.
Yeah, I was going to say, and that's the big one with any team. You have to stay healthy. I'm sorry, if Connor McDavid goes down in Edmonton,
sure,
they're going to have some problems. You don't fill that. I mean, you have to hope, can the Sedins mitigate the slide they've been on?
Yeah, I mean, if they can get 60 points, I think that would be a great year for them.
Can Markstrom be a number one guy?
Yeah.
If he can't, Nilsson?
I mean,
if he can't, can they at least platoon successfully?
And I have said this, I have felt this, I thought they both, towards the latter half of the preseason, looked quite good.
They're both giants. That's what I like. I know. I mean, they're both huge. I mean, Markstrom's 6'4 or 6'5, and Nilsson's 6'6.
Yeah.
Like,
we're talking large units.
Yeah, these are big guys. I mean, that's the thing. A lot of things have to go right. It's just a lot of unknowns.
I will say this is the one positive, and this is the one, to me, the big difference between this year and last year is the amount of depth that it's going to be down in Utica. And I honestly believe that there are going to be a large portion of Vancouver Canuck fans that will be paying close attention to what goes down in Utica, because they do have a solid team. And they do have players that we fully expect will be on this team in the future.
Well, I think not just this year, but I think probably over the next 2 or 3 years,
sure,
you'll see that.
And that's the nice thing, is that team is going to continue to rotate in new young talent that we've drafted. And it's going to be an exciting time to watch Utica play, or wherever if they remain in Utica. This year, you've got Demko and net. And Demko is really going to hopefully be bolstered by the fact that that team is going to be a lot better. You have Jonathan Dolan, who unfortunately, due to his bout of mono, we didn't get to see in the preseason, but he's down in Utica.
Godolbin.
You have Godolbin, and that's the one guy I really want to see. I want to see if he took that demotion well and comes out and plays hard, because I do believe that he has a chance to be part of the future of this team. And then Anton Rodin, who, much to his character, didn't split for Sweden after being sent down to Utica. And for, you know,
He wants to play in the NHL.
Yes.
And if this is what he has to do it. So I mean, and also to point out, he's never played in the AHL.
No. And you know what? He didn't have that poor of a preseason, to be completely honest.
No.
But he needs to play more. I think that's the big thing, because of the injuries that he's sustained over the last couple of years.
Well, that just thing you nailed. He hasn't played for like a year and
exactly,
a half.
Exactly, right? And I think, I'm sure Jim Benning and Travis Green said it to him during his exit meeting as he was being sent down. We're not sending you down because we don't believe in you. We're sending you down because we believe you need to play. And if you play and you show us what you can do, you will be back up.
Because he's probably going to be a top-line guy there.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And you know what? He has an opportunity to be a real positive influence on some of those young guys. I mean, here's a guy who's now in his mid-20s, who's persevering. He's trying to make it. And if he can rub off on a guy like Godolbin, who may not be very happy that he's being sent down. Now, that might not be true. He might be okay with it, and he might be understanding of what he needs to do. But at least you got some guys down there in mentorship positions.
I think if you go down with the attitude of, I mean, in reality, for a guy like Godolbin, just for example, this is probably a temporary thing. Temporary at, you know, you could say probably at most is probably going to be this year. I don't think anyone in their right mind thinks Thomas Vanek is going to be here at the end of the season.
No.
That guy has trade bait written all over him.
And I think the Balka fans hope that's the case, right?
Barring some miracle where the Canucks are in some sort of position to compete for a cup this year, which is not going to happen. I'm not here to debate the existence of miracles. I'm just saying
that's not going to happen. Yeah.
So you have someone like that who is quite obviously trade bait. Same thing with a guy like Burmistrov. I mean, is he here long picture? I doubt it.
No. You need stopgap measures, right? And this is why I've argued.
And that's what this is.
I've argued with people over and over and over and over again until I was blue in the face that you couldn't simply just destroy and demolish the Canucks team. Jim Benning couldn't just do that as soon as he arrived without some measures and some stopgaps in place as he drafted to push things forward, because you weren't going
to
draft.
You still have to put a team on the ice.
Exactly, right? And you can't put a team on the ice. It's a complete dumpster fire, because what is that going to do to the prospects that you're bringing in here? The nice thing about this team is that you have some young guys in Virtanen, Besser, Horvat. You can add Granlund. I mean, Berchi's kind of on that cusp of not being in that area.
But you have those mid-range guys like Delzato and Gagne.
And you've got guys on this team that can alleviate some of the stress. The stress isn't all on Bo Horvat to lead this team. There are other guys on this team that can take some of that onus and some of that expectation off of him and put it on them. So that's nice. As opposed to other teams that have gone the other direction, like, say, Colorado, where the expectations were fully on guys like Landeskog and Duchesne and MacKinnon.
At the time, they were 18 when they came into the league. Exactly, there was that expectation. Right?
And you can look at the Canucks trade for Derek Pouliot as another guy like that. Another guy that was rushed into the NHL before he was ready. You can't look at every prospect the same way. Not every prospect is going to be a Connor McDavid or a Sidney Crosby that can show up into the league and dominate. You have to find a path and a development that works for them. And it's nice to see that the Canucks are seeming to be willing to do that with the guys that they're drafting. And hopefully this year for Jake Virtanen, we'll see some of the fruits of that development come through in his game. Because I'll say this, the one area of his game that I really liked in the preseason was his hockey sense. You can see in his first year here that he was thinking the game. He didn't know where to be. It just wasn't coming natural to him. Whereas now that he's had some time, he's been able to go down to Utica and play minutes down there under the coach that he has up here. He's not thinking the game anymore. It's coming naturally to him, and he's being in the right spot. He's turned into a really, from what we saw in the preseason, a solid two-way player. He's a guy that can be relied on defensively, which is nice.
Yeah, and you hope it continues.
Yeah, I mean, there
in itself is probably the Travis Green effect.
Sure.
You know, you hope that continues with some of the younger guys. I mean, I'm more, one of the things I'm curious about, a guy like Alex Edler, who has not played very well and has looked disengaged for the last couple years. How's this year going to look for him? Are we going to see more of the same of that? Is there going to be some sort of rebound or resurgence out of him? They're paying him to be a top pairing defenseman.
And if they're playing with him, they're planning on a pairing with, from what we've seen anyway, with him and Chris Tanev. So there's no doubt who your number one pairing is going to be. Yeah. So
with your number two, I'm going to go on a limb and say it's probably going to be Gudbranson and Hutton.
Yeah.
As your number two pairing. And you could very easily argue, you know, depending on how the year goes, that'll be your number one. And that, again, so I'm curious as to how Edler's going to react, because, like I said, he is just look like he hasn't given a shit for the last couple years. For whatever his reasons are, there's been very little discussed on that. But just for the veterans, how they react.
Yeah, because this can't be, it can't be easy on veteran players to come into a season and you're not 100% sure.
He's also the oldest guy on the blue line now.
Yeah.
By a lot, unless you want to count Alex Biega.
I don't think I'm going to count Alex Biega.
yeah, I was going to say, but Edler's the oldest, by 2 or 3 years.
And it'll be interesting to see where Pouliot fits in here. I mean, if you look at it right now with, you know, obviously Edler and Tanev, I guess Hutton and Gudbranson. And then if it's Stetcher and Delzato, is Pouliot your number seven then?
Probably. As I can say, it seems like they're probably going to carry eight.
And maybe.
For the season because they don't want to lose Biega.
And maybe, just maybe, Pouliot's they're moving forward from Triamkin. I don't know. I don't know whether they...
Time will tell. I would hope there's a lot of creativity this year in how the roster takes shape. I don't want to see guys get pigeon. I don't want to see the Sedins are your top line guys. Well, why can't they play third line minutes?
Yeah, it's especially if the lines below them are out playing.
Yeah, like if you have other guys producing, play them. Don't feel you have. If Edler's playing like crap, put him up in the press box.
Yeah, I mean,
don't be afraid to get a little creative. Put Pouliot up on forward or whatever you want to do.
Ooh, Pouliot on forward, eh?
Well, no, but seriously, like, why not? Let's say Vanek's looking like shit. You need another forward. Put someone up there.
Well, I mean, I look at it this way. I mean, if your whole mantra in camp was competition, and if you play well, you'll be here.
You have to continue.
You have to continue it. You cannot just let that go. I think the problem that Willie Desjardins had was at times he got a little too comfortable with particular players, and put them there didn't seem to be much incentive.
No,
there.
I also still feel he did the best with with what he had.
You know, I mean, I
he's still obviously a good coach. He's going to be coaching the Canadian Olympic team.
As the saying goes, you can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit. And so, yes, I agree.
Well, I was going to say, on that fun note, should we make season predictions then?
Oh, wow. That's, yeah. I mean, well, here's where I see it. The Canucks are going to be better than last year, if only because of the depth that they have, both on the team now and down in Utica. You're not going to be bringing up players that are not, that have no hope of being having an NHL future.
Your call-ups are probably not going to be Michael Chaput and Jason Magna.
Although I don't, I mean, let's not say that.
Or depending on who you ask, Michael Chaput.
Yeah, I mean, let's not say that just yet, because you never do know. You never know, that's possible.
But you have other options than
yes,
that
exactly,
year.
Right? And if they, and I'll say this, if Jason Magna is the best player down there and he's playing the best, okay, bring him up. And that has to be that way. You can't just bring up Goldobin because
he's Goldobin.
Exactly. He has to prove that he's worthy of that call-up. I mean, the problem the Canucks are going to have is while their team is better, the teams in their division are just ridiculous. I mean, you have the odds-on favorite to win the Stanley Cup in Edmonton. You have Calgary, who has solid lines, and then a defense that you could arguably say is the best defense in the NHL, 1-6.
Question there is, how will Mike Smith handle it?
Oh, exactly, right? And that's the big question. I mean, I don't know. That could be another Brian Elliott waiting to happen. You've got San Jose. You kind of don't know. I mean, are they able at the age of some of their players, namely Joe Thornton?
I think yes, because when I look at that team, he's the only old one now.
Well, they have definitely moved on.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, that Patrick Marleau's. So, again, another solid team. And, you know, again, Anaheim. What are we going to get from John Stevens as the new head coach in L.A.? No one knows.
So give me a prediction then.
Well, I think the Canucks will finish. The Canucks will be better than Las Vegas. That I do know.
You want to put money on that?
Let's talk off. And I believe the Canucks will finish second to last in their division. And I will give them, I'll say 75 points this year.
Okay. I like your rosy outlook.
Is 75 points rosy? I guess rosier than what you're going to give them.
Well, I from a point perspective, no, I'm not necessarily going to stray a whole lot from that. I stand by what I said about the team last year. I think it continues this year. They're a bottom three team. That's not to say that there aren't going to be a lot of positives out of this year and there aren't going to be some steps in the right direction. I don't think everything is going to go right that has to go right. It's just the reality of sports.
And injuries.
That's the thing. Injuries happen. Players progress or they regress. I hope to see a lot of good things out of the younger guys. And I hope the Sedins, if this is their sunset ride, that it's a great one. But I think just based on who the competition is, and where we are in our rebuild program, we're not there yet. It's going to be another 2-3 years. I think we need to be prepared for another bottom three finish and a lottery pick. And hope for the best, be prepared for the worst.
Yes, and you know what? There is a segment of the fans here that the worst finishing that low is actually not necessarily a bad thing.
And it's not. And if anything the last couple years has shown us from what we have now depth and prospect-wise, it's not the end of the world. There is that light at the end of the tunnel. Yes, it takes patience. Yes, there's a lot of growing pains with it. But you can look at what Chicago went through or what Edmonton's gone through or any number of teams, and you could say that, yeah, it sucked, but look at where it got you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've said this, and I'll say it one more time.
Are you going to say big picture again?
I'm going to say big picture. And I will say, you know, be sure as a Canuck fan, pay attention to what's going on down in Utica.
And in Europe.
I know, there are a lot of great fans that do pay very close attention to what Elias Pettersson's doing in Sweden. Even Petrus Palmu, who I believe is playing in Finland.
I mean, let's watch what Cole Lind is doing in college.
Yes, like, Jonah Gadjevic in junior. You know?
So there's a lot of interesting storylines and a lot of moving parts.
Gaudette, that's another guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, and that's the college. I think we're both probably on the same page that it's going to be a long season.
Yeah, there's going to be some bumpy roads, but you know what? A couple of years from now, it'll be paved and smooth, and the Canucks will be
The tortoise and the hare, who won that race?
Yeah, exactly, right? So let's be patient. Let's support this team the way we know how, and hopefully we can get some sunnier times the next few years.
Go Canucks, go.
Go Canucks, go.
Post-game show is brought to you by... Christ, I can't find it. The hell with it.
You know, these guys ain't so bad.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.